Happy Sabbath, everyone. You know, in traveling around the country, you know, I'm finding out that our earth is groaning and hurting because of different things that are going on. You know, I love the Word of God. I love the Scriptures. And when people are talking about what's going on, especially in the Middle East, and now we're having all kinds of things. I think of Matthew 24, where it talks about wars and rumors of wars, and all of these are the beginning of birth pains, but the end is not yet. And I say, praise the Lord, the end's not yet, because I still want to win somebody else for Jesus Christ. There's still some other people out there. And, you know, places that I talk to, and people I see at airports, they're all talking about this little country called Israel. And sometimes they ask, what do you think? I said, oh, wow, let me see. I have about 20 minutes before boarding the airplane, so let me see if I have time. But people have different ideas of different things that are going on. But the ideas that it resonates with those of us who know Jesus Christ and we know the Lord, we know the one fact is Jesus Christ is coming back again. You believe that? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So I'd like to share just a little bit with you out of the book of Mark, chapter 1. And I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit and kind of tell a story. Jesus was really, really good at that. I loved his stories. I loved his parables. And he kept attention with the stories that he told. And so if I kind of go into story form a little bit, forgive me, because the greatest story is yet to be told. And here in Mark chapter 1, I go to verse 14, where it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. I think of John. I think of John the Baptist, and I think of the fact that he was put in prison. And even John had some doubts. Folks, it's okay to have doubts at times. We're human. We sometimes have doubts, and sometimes the best thing to do is pray for the doubts to be removed from our minds and have our mind focused on Jesus Christ. But John himself had doubts. He sent messages to Jesus. He says, are you the one that we seek, or should we look for somebody else? You ever thought that way when you're stuck in a room, stuck in a prison, and stuck with all kinds of cares of life? You ever thought that way? You ever had any doubts? I confess to you, as a church kid, I've had doubts at times, but I pray for the doubts to be removed because my salvation is in Jesus Christ. Here, after John was put in prison, then Jesus resonated here in verse 15 where he says, the time is fulfilled, he says. Fulfilled. It was fulfilled because he was on the ground. He was in the earth. He was being foretold. The prophets foretold about the coming of Jesus Christ. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, they all prophesied. Even Micah said where he would be born. It was in the town of Bethlehem. Didn't they say that? He said he would be coming. So Jesus said, the time is fulfilled. I'm here. Folks, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the time is fulfilled. He's here. His presence is here. And then he starts talking, the kingdom of God is at hand. And I like to think, well, what does that mean? What was he talking about? It's at hand. What do you mean? Is it here? Is it coming? And, you know, all my life as a church kid, I was growing up with the fact that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And in my little mind, I used to think, no, not yet. I got to get a driver's license. You know, no, not yet. I got to get a car. No, not yet. I got to get married. No, all those things have happened. He can come now, you know. But, you know, now I want him to come. You know, I want him to come. She said, the kingdom of God is at hand. So I tried to figure out, at hand. If you've accepted Jesus, according to Colossians 1, you're in the kingdom now, the spiritual kingdom of God. You're there. You ask the question, who is Jesus to you? And you say, well, he's my Savior. A lot of people say he's my Savior. But they also said he is my Lord. Amen? Isn't he your Lord? If he's the Lord of your life, then he's the ruler of your life. And guess what? You're in the spiritual kingdom of God, and he's your King, he's your Lord, he's Emmanuel, he's all of these things. He is your Lord. But here's the issue that Jesus wanted to do. The kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Repent. He talked about those words, repent. And throughout the scriptures, Peter said it best on the day of Pentecost. Repent. They were all good church people, but they had to repent. Nicodemus was a good teacher and a master of scripture, and he had to repent. We are all good church people, sometimes growing up in church, but we had to repent. Everybody has to repent. And he said, repent and believe the gospel. That was Jesus' passion. Two things. Repentance and the kingdom of God. That's what he came for. And so as he was going on, he started picking his disciples. He started picking people who were going to take the work after him. He goes on, he says, and he picks his disciples. And in verse 17, he says, and Jesus said unto them, come after me, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Come after me, he says. Well, he meant that they were to come with him, but he also meant that they were to come after he left. Folks, we're not here forever. I'm not irreplaceable. Pastor Brian is not irreplaceable. We're not. Somebody's got to fill the gaps, folks. Somebody's got to be fishers of men so that when Jesus comes back, he will find faith on earth because we will be here no matter what, worshiping and praising God through all the turmoil that's going on in the world today. Here, he went on to, as he was going on, he started to share. In verse 22, as he began to teach, and verse 21, excuse me, he would go into the synagogue on Sabbath day. And I like that. I like the fact that his custom was to go to church on Sabbath day. Resonates with us Sabbath keepers, you know. You know, I like Sabbath. Where are you going to go on Sabbath day? Well, I go to church. And that's where we go. We do church, amen. Oh, good. You're all in agreement with me there. He went straightway on Sabbath day and he entered into the synagogue and he taught. Can you imagine being in a Sabbath school class with Jesus Christ being your teacher? I bet you nobody would go get coffee. I bet you nobody would say, oh, I need to go to the restroom. Boy, if I had Jesus as my teacher and I had to go to the restroom, man, I'll tell you what, I'll just hang on there and hold it because I want to hear what he has to say. I'd be excited about it. And he taught. And in verse 22, it says, and they were astonished. Astonished. Look at the word astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. I feel bad for those poor scribes. They must have been boring people, man. You know, they just, whatever, read the scriptures. But Jesus taught with authority. And they listened to him. And so then he goes on to start doing miracles. And they came to him. They followed him. And in verse 27 it says, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves and saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands and even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. It's a new doctrine. His doctrine was repentance and the kingdom of God. I just want to make this simple. That Jesus came to preach repentance, and he came to preach the kingdom of God. That was his doctrine. That's what he was teaching. And he was fighting the unclean spirits. And folks, I tell you what, the scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the flesh and blood and principalities and spirits. And I believe that's what's going on in the world today. There is evil spirits out there. It has to be evil for the horrific things that we've been reading about that's going on in Israel, in Gaza, in the Middle East, and the horrific things that they've been doing. You can't have a right mind and do those things. You have to be filled with demonic possession. And I believe the demons are here. I believe there are bad spirits here. And I believe that we have to be filled with the armor of God to fight against those things. And I hope and pray that y'all have those things, that you can fight against those things. Because the war is here. It's here. And so as he began to preach the kingdom of God in repentance, it says in verse 28, it says, immediately his fame spread around throughout all the region around Galilee. And they came and they listened to him. And then he went and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon and Andrew were brothers. And then it says, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they told him of her. That resonates with me because, you know, Peter was married. Simon's wife's mother, I guess that was his mother-in-law, right? That was his mother-in-law. So he was married. Some people teach that Peter was never married. Well, I'm not going to tell you what I believe about Peter being married. I'm going to tell you what the Bible teaches about Peter being married. There it is. You can underline that if you want to. You can even write mother-in-law if you want to. I don't care. But see, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they came and told her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up and healed her. And so as he healed her, then the noise went out throughout the whole city, and people started bringing in all kinds of people possessed with devils. Wow, that's amazing to me that people were possessed with devils back then, and I believe people are possessed with devils even today. And they came and he healed. Many were sick and cast out devils, and constantly, it was all day long, the whole city came to the door. And it says in verse 35, in the morning, rising up a while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Sounds to me like he was busy all night long and casting out devils. But his main purpose, I wanted to remind you what his main purpose was. His main purpose of why he came here was to preach repentance and the kingdom of God. That's why he came. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Repent of my sins. That's why he came. And so here he decided to leave. And they said in verse 38, when the disciples found him praying, he said to them in verse 38, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. Preach what? You tell me. Preach what? Repentance and what? And the kingdom of God. And so that I may preach there. That's what he wanted to do. All this stuff about feeding the sick and feeding those that are hungry, that was just a sideline. Healing the sick, that was just a sideline, you know. He was way before, you know, all of this freebie medical things. You didn't need no medical program there. You just had Jesus Christ back in those days here. But that's not really what he wanted to do. He wanted to preach the kingdom of God. That's why he came. For therefore came I forth. That's the reason why I came, he said, to preach repentance and the kingdom of God, to win souls and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's what we are supposed to do as fishers of men, preach and win souls for the kingdom of God. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, cast out devils. And as he was going about in the desert, going to the next town, he had an encounter. And I want you to look at this. He had an encounter in verse 40. There came a leper to him. beseeching him. You know, the word beseeching means begging. Begging him. And kneeling down to him. Showed him grace. Showed him compassion. Showed him respect. Respect. Jesus Christ deserves our respect. And said to him, If you will, you can make me clean. If you will. When we pray for healing, sometimes I've heard praying for spouses and those that are sick. And we pray, if God will, he can make us clean. He can make us whole. And we pray for that. And I'm at the point in my life that I don't want to bargain with God anymore. I just say, Lord, if you will, you can answer this prayer. And if you won't, I'm still going to love you. No matter what. Here, it said in verse 41, Jesus, notice this, moved with compassion. Our God has compassion. Jesus has compassion. And he put forth his hand and he touched him. You know what he did? You've heard the term immoral and illegal. The law is this thing is illegal against the law. This thing is immoral. Jesus did an illegal act. Did you know that? He broke the law. You're not supposed to touch a leper. You're not supposed to, you're supposed to stay your 6 feet distance. You know how they were talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Stay away from each other. You're not supposed to. He broke the law. If you look at that, he said, well, wait a minute. He didn't follow the laws of the land. He broke the law. He put forth his hand and he touched him and said to him, I will, be thou clean. And he healed him. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he told him immediately in verse 43, as he said, sent him away. Now I want you to notice a strange request that Jesus did in verse 44. He said to him, don't say anything to any man. Don't tell anybody what I did. Interesting. I mean, the guy's cleansed. He's all excited and rejuvenated. And he said, don't tell anybody. But I want you to go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And I thought, I wonder, why did Jesus offer that advice? Why did he tell him not to tell anybody? Why did he tell him to go to the priests? Well, the priest probably knew this guy. And the priest would have to declare him healed. Oh, wow, that would be really hard. The priest would have to acknowledge that. It was something that Jesus wanted that to happen. Jesus didn't want this noise about. So he gave the leper firm instructions. But notice what happened. But he went out and he began to publish it much. Well, boy, I'm sort of glad CNN didn't exist back then. And I'm so glad New York Times didn't do that back then. But I'm not going to get into CNN politics here. Woo, I caught myself. People are, I could get all jazzed about CNN and New York Times and what they knew back then before the big attack. Conspiracy theory, Larry's, forgive me, Lord. I'll just keep on moving here with the word. But look at here. He went out and he published it much. And to blaze about the matter. He told everybody, I've been healed. Oh yeah, I've been excited. I've been healed. I was a leper and I'm clean. I've been healed. I don't know if he even went to the priest. He told everybody. And there was a problem with that. One, he disobeyed Jesus. Two, he went out in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into that city. Why did Jesus want to go to the city? What was his purpose? What was the purpose? To teach what? Repentance and what? The kingdom of God. That's why he wanted to go there. That's why he told the leper, don't tell anybody. I came, and according to verse 15, the purpose for me coming was to preach repentance. The kingdom of God is at hand. I came to win souls, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's why he came. That was the promises even way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where God told Eve, your seed will crush the serpent's head. That was a promise. That's why he came. I could be a diseased body, but if my heart is cleansed for Jesus Christ, then I'm going to be okay. He's got to heal the heart first. These are the last days. People are dying. I believe this is the lost generation, and we've got to win who we can right now. So think about that son, that daughter, that husband, that parent. Think about that neighbor. Think about somebody that you need to tell about Jesus Christ. Because the whole world right now is all crazy out there. Everybody says, is this it? Is this it? Is this Armageddon? Is this Gog? Is this Magog? All these words are flying all over the place. And us that are watching the scriptures, you know, I'm getting all excited. And they said, Israel's going to be destroyed. No, it won't. This is God's people. And we know these times as we delve into the scriptures because the kingdom of God is at hand. Here, he couldn't go into the city, but was without in desert places, and they started coming to him from every quarter. The lessons from the leper here is that the leper came to Jesus beseeching him, having respect for him, making requests of him. And so the lessons that we have when we come to God, when we come to Jesus Christ on our knees, I'm hoping and I'm praying that you do it with respect for God. And that you will ask specifically, what is it that you want? Because Jesus asked those questions. There's been other times when people came to him and he would say, what do you want? What do you want? I can almost, when I pray at night, I can almost hear God saying, well, what do you want, Larry? Well, I want this, and I want that, and I want to sleep tonight. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. When I was 5 years old, I was terrified with that prayer. I'm 71 years old. Take me, Lord. You know, I'm fine. July 20th, when I fell off a ladder. Oh, by the way, I have two ladders for sale. when I fell off that ladder and hit the ground, and I thought, okay. And I woke up, I said, thank you, Lord. And he gave me a passion that there's still something for me to do. And I praise the Lord for that. And then when I was in that hospital for 6 days, I was so sick, I didn't eat anything. I lost 9 pounds, folks, in the hospital. 9 pounds. Why? Because I was sick. I didn't want to eat. And there are people out there today, and it could be you, that are spiritually sick, and you don't want to eat anything. And Jesus said it best, blessed and holy is he who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for Jesus Christ? Do you know somebody else who needs him? So the lessons of the leper is to ask, respect, beseech, and obey. and to obey. He was not supposed to tell anybody, because Jesus wanted to preach repentance in the coming kingdom of God. Jesus is coming. The signs of the times are there. You know, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come tomorrow. I don't know this, but I'm going to tell you this. I hear people telling me, Larry, we've got to prepare. We've got to prep. You've got to save up canned foods. You got to save up this. You got to do that. You got to get a generator. You got to get your guns. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to get prepared. You got to do all of that. My older brother said, Larry, I'm going to Patriots and getting that 25 years of food. You got to get 25 years worth of food. I said, okay, you know. You know, the best defense right now, folks, is to win souls for Jesus Christ. The best defense is to make your heart ready for Jesus Christ. Jesus is the healer of the nations. Our nation needs to be healed with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And we've got to win at least one more for Jesus Christ. We've got to do that. You know, this is a time where it says there are few. There are few. Quickly, when he talks about the Sodom and Gomorrah, there was three that were one. When it talks about the days of Noah, there were eight that were one. When it talks about when Israel came out of Egypt and went into the promised land of that generation, there was only two that were one. Two, Joshua and Caleb. And when it comes to when Israel came in to take the promised land, like Israel's trying to keep the promised land right now, and they took the promised land and they went into Jericho and the walls come tumbling down, I thought, you know, I told my wife, I said, what did those poor people in Jericho do? What did they do wrong? They lived there for years and years and years, but it wasn't their land. And the walls came a tumbling down. And when the walls came a tumbling down, how many people from Jericho were saved? Were there people from Jericho saved? Yes, there was. It was Rahab and her family. And they were given the promise of the scarlet cord, just like the blood of the doorposts. People who obey will be saved. So if you have Jesus as your Savior, you also need Jesus as your Lord and obey. The lesson of the leper is to obey. And we wait for the coming of the Lord. I love the last part of Revelation where the writer says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Bow your heads with me for a moment as we close. Father God, this is the age of evangelism, Lord. This is where your people are crying for salvation. This is when we are needing to reach those, the lost. This is when the time is ripe, when the signs of the end times are upon us, and we need to win at least one more for Jesus Christ. All of us in this room have loved ones that need Jesus. All of us in this room have loved ones that are sick. All of us in this room need to share our faith. All of us want to be able to do your will. All of us want to be fishers of men. And Father, I pray that you will give us the boldness that Jesus had, and to give us the idea that we need to preach repentance and the coming kingdom of God. And Lord, at the same time, I pray as we go to fellowship and we eat and dine together, you will bless the meal and bless the hands that prepared it. And let us be able to say, it was good to be worshiping in the house of the Lord today. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. And God bless you, and you are dismissed.